The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I wanted to kind of pave a new way for what politics looks like. I didn't have like a background of politics or anything like that as far as my my background or my experience. So I just wanted to kind of pave the way and set a new tone of what I believed I wanted politics to look like. I wanted to see more women, young black women like myself in these positions.
26 years old, right, getting into politics, why not something else? Why not go into corporate? Why not, you know, do something else that that would make sense for a 26-year-old?
Let's use this vacant land and build community.
Absolutely.
Let's build neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Let's build families.
Yeah.
Hey, wait. I know you want to watch this next video, but listen, if you are an entrepreneur, business coach, business consultant, or a small business owner who has a story and wants to learn how to create multiple streams of income from your story, I need you to text me right now, my book, to 646-687-4152. That is my personal number. I have been an author for over 12 years. I've written 10 books. Four of them have been bestsellers, and I've sold over 100,000 books. But I've also helped a lot of my clients take their expertise and put it into a story, then create multiple streams of income from that. So I want to help you do the same thing. So text my book to 646-687-4152. All right, let's go back to the video. All right, so welcome to another awesome episode of Inside the Vault with Ash Cash, the greatest money mindset show on the planet. Listen, I got an exciting show for you today. We are honored to have a trailblazing leader who has made a significant impact on Detroit and beyond. Mary Sheffield serves as the Detroit City Councilperson for District 5 and made history in 2013 as the youngest person ever elected to the Detroit City Council at the age of 26. Her impressive career includes roles such as the chair of the Neighborhood and Community Services Standing Committee and member of the Planning and Economic Development and Budget Finance and Audit Standing Committees. As the youngest ever Detroit City Council president, elected in 2022, Mary has led initiatives in affordable housing, economic development, and community empowerment. Her dedication to uplifting Detroit's residents and her visionary leadership continue to inspire many. Ladies and gentlemen, round of applause for Madam President Mary Sheffield. It's a pleasure.
Boy, I need you for mine.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It's such an honor to be here with you because you're doing such great things for the city of Detroit. And for me, I feel like, you know, you have to, when you think about the black community specifically, when you see someone doing something right, it's duplicatable anywhere in the country, right? And so I love everything that you're doing, and we're going to talk about it because I think that, you know, what you've built and what you're building is a model that we can duplicate everywhere and help us economically as a community. Mm-hmm. But before we go there, right, because I read, you know, your bio and everything, before we go there, in your words, who is Mary Sheffield?
So Mary Sheffield is someone that loves service. I'm born and raised in Detroit. I grew up in a servant leadership household that instilled in me the importance of service. And so I view myself as just someone who is incredibly, deeply passionate about people, about justice, and about serving.
Yeah.
God led me to serving in this realm in politics, which I never thought that I would actually be in.
Wow.
But I do believe that we need more just honest, down-to-earth people who put people over politics in these type of positions that actually care about elevating the issues of everyday people. And so I come from a family that was heavily involved in civil rights. And so it's really in my blood what I do. But I also have a strong faith that guides me. And I think that that is important too in these positions. So Mary Sheffield is just a girl from Detroit that wants the best for our city, wants the best for our young people. And I've got to understand the history. We have a rich history in Detroit. And I truly believe that we can get back to that point, right, of creating this city where everyone, right, flocked to for hope, for opportunity to create the American dream right here in Detroit. And we just need the right leadership in place to create that. So I deeply care about this city. I've traveled a lot of places. I've been to Chicago, New York, LA, Atlanta. And those are great cities. Yeah. But as you mentioned, there's a spirit.
No, 1,000%.
There's a spirit in Detroit.
For
and wherever I go, I always come back.
Yeah.
I just know that Detroit is special. It's unique. And my fight every day is just that everybody, everyday people benefit from what's happening in our city. Long-term generational Detroiters that have been here are a part of the growth, a part of the revitalization that is happening in Detroit.
Yeah,
so just a heart for the people.
Yeah, no, I love it. And I'll talk to that because, like, I'm born and raised in New York, you know, moved to Atlanta. So I live in Atlanta now. And everyone's like, you know, Atlanta's the black Mecca and Atlanta has an energy.
Yeah.
But I came to Detroit. This is my first time in Detroit, like for the record. I came here and it's just an energy. I was like, wait, this energy feel different. And you could feel it, you know, it feel like love, right? Because I know what love feel like. And when I got here, I was like, man, there's love here. So I want to talk about that a little bit, right? The revitalization and making sure that, you know, the people benefit from it. Because again, as someone who, you know, lives in, who was born and raised in New York City, I've seen firsthand gentrification. Like, I grew up in the 80s, 90s, crack era. So I know, like, Harlem in particular. I grew up in Harlem on 29th Street, 8th Avenue.
Yep.
I know in particular that every other building was abandoned, burnt down. It was like, I've witnessed that. I lived through that. Then when gentrification happened, it wasn't our people who benefited from that.
That's right.
Talk a little bit about some of the things that you're doing in Detroit, right? Because, you know, I've heard rumors about, you know, buildings for a dollar and, you know, how you could do, you know, buy all these different things. And then, but history sort of repeats itself. Mm-hmm. But you've been innovative trying to make sure that gentrification, it happens, but it doesn't happen where it doesn't benefit our people. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, please. I mean, that's the lens that I view everything in.
Yeah.
So as programs come before us, as contracts come before us, as huge development projects come before us, always view it from the lens of how our long-term generational Detroiters benefiting and how are we growing the black middle class in Detroit? Mm-hmm. How are we creating more entrepreneurs? How are we creating more millionaires?
Mm-hmm.
How are people getting access to the wealth that we're seeing in Detroit? And so, for example, the community benefits process is when we have projects that are $75 million or more come to Detroit, they have to go through an engagement with the community to make sure that they're benefiting, whether it be scholarships, job training, education, whatever it may be, to make sure that they're actually, the people who are impacted are getting benefits from that particular project. We also host all types of events around procurement, how to just do business with the city. We have, I mean, over $1 billion budget.
Wow.
And the money in procurement and services that Detroit-based businesses can have access to, but they don't know how to set up, how to do business with the city is important. So we're always pushing for, you know, young people to get into entrepreneurship and to learn how to actually procure and do business with the city of Detroit. So in every contract, in every program, you just have to be intentional and make sure that you're advocating and fighting for opportunities for both businesses and hiring of Detroiters, along with all of the projects and programs and growth that we're seeing in the city of Detroit.
Yeah, I love that. And so what's your thoughts on home ownership, right? Because I think that when I look and I do research, I realize that 90% of wealthy people have made their wealth through some form of real estate. or home ownership. I also have done research and know that when we talk about this wealth gap, white, black, majority of that is through home ownership. And so what's your thoughts
there? So two things. One, what saddens me is that we had a huge crisis in Detroit where over millions, hundreds of millions, people were over-assessed in their homes, taxes. And so many people in Detroit lost their home to foreclosure and should not have.
Wow.
Right? But they were over-assessed.
Wow.
So we had a huge population of Detroiters that lost generational wealth because of a mistake that was made on behalf of the city.
Wow.
They were over-assessed.
Wow.
The second thing is, as you mentioned, you know, Detroit at one point had the highest rate of home ownership in the country at one point in time, back, you know, after the great, during the Great Migration and all of those things. And we lost that. And so we're moving forward in that direction. I think it's key to financial liberation, financial freedom. We just launched a program, actually the first ever in the country, that provides federal funds for a down payment assistance program, which is one of the number one challenges to get people access to mortgages. How do you come up with the down payment?
Wow.
So we're giving homeowners $25,000.
Wow.
To get their first home. We have 400 families that we just celebrated yesterday that now have a home.
Wow.
And we were able to provide that gap, that down payment assistance. So home ownership is key. Listen, when I go in communities and you see a neighborhood, people, when they own their homes, neighborhoods are safe.
Absolutely.
They're strong.
Yeah.
It's a sense of community and pride.
Yeah.
And when we talk about rebuilding Detroit, I'm proud of the apartment, sometimes, you know, the rental units and that, but we need housing.
Absolutely.
We need safe, stable, affordable housing throughout our neighborhoods.
Yeah.
If we really want to build the middle class and create a safe, sustainable place for people to grow.
Yeah. And I want to go back to something you just said, because I don't want to glaze over that when you talk about the Great Migration. Yeah. Great Migration was a result of domestic terrorism, right? Yeah. And so black folk who were enslaved, you know, went and created wealth and built wealth and built businesses and were thriving. And then domestic terrorism, I'm going to call it what it is.
That's right.
Direct domestic terrorism chased them out of their homes. And they lost billions of even trillions of dollars in wealth and then migrated. Right. And Detroit was one of those cities where, you know, we migrated to. And then I guess through politics and, things that, happen that now reverse that wealth as well. Talk a little bit about the importance, though, of politics, right? Because, you know, what you just said about, you know, losing homes through foreclosure based on an error that, you know, the city made, right? Number one, there's a really good book that talks about, you know, redlining and the legal ways that wealth was taken out of our community. And you know, when I think about politics, people only think, well, this doesn't affect my pockets.
Right.
But we just gave you at least five examples of how it does.
Right.
So talk a little bit about that correlation between politics and economics and why it's important that every single person that has access to vote should be voting.
Well, definitely. You know, if you don't shape policy, it will shape you.
Mm.
And I think of restrictive covenants.
Yep.
I think of urban renewal. Me and my staff were just at an event where we talked about the elimination of the Black Bottom, Paradise Valley. I'm not sure if you're familiar with those areas of Detroit where we had just wealth of the
thriving
Black community, thriving businesses. I mean, we were just concentrated and thriving as Black people.
Yep.
Wiped away.
Yep.
Urban renewal, freeway came.
Yep.
Took it away. That was all politics.
Yep.
That was all people in government, in office that made these decisions.
Yep.
And so I sit there every day and no one can tell me that voting and leadership does not matter. Let me give you an example. Right now, we have a proposal before us to create solar farms throughout our city on 100 acres of land.
Mm.
Right. That's almost 100 acres. One football field is about a little over 1 acre.
Yep.
So we're talking about almost 10 football fields of solar farms in our neighborhoods. Priorities matter. I'm not saying I'm against solar farms to help create a safer, cleaner environment.
Yep.
But we have a housing crisis in this city. We had an event yesterday. Mothers and children came to us homeless, looking for homes. And you know what they said? Exactly what you said. What we're seeing being built is not for us.
Right.
I like seeing it. I'm happy, but we can't even afford to live in the stuff that's being built.
Yeah.
So voting does matter because who sits in these seats sets priorities.
Right.
And the priority for me right now is not a solar farm.
Right.
Let's use this vacant land and build community.
Absolutely.
Let's build neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Let's build families.
Yeah.
That is important. So when you start to make those correlations to people, then I think they'll better understand.
Yeah.
It's not just about, you know, vote for me. You have to make the correlation of how that vote translates to your everyday life.
1,000, yeah.
You know, so yes, most definitely, a lot of decisions that we see or things happening in our city are based on policy.
Yeah.
That have both helped and hurt us.
Mm-hmm. And I love, you know, one thing that you mentioned about the city having access to funds that could help small businesses.
Yes.
You know, the statistics show, right, that the government is the largest employer of, you know, Black people, but the second largest employer of Black people are small businesses, right? And so if you think about the government, you know, and you think about small businesses, if the government has money employing Black folk, and then the second largest employer is small businesses, then why not, you know, get access to that? And so if you vote and you understand you have the right people and support that.
That's right.
It will make sure that the money is circulated in the community and it grows, right? And so, you know, and I see and feel your passion, right? I feel it.
Yeah.
26 years old, right, getting into politics. And I know you mentioned a little bit about, you know, it being in your family, but why not something else? Why not go into corporate? Why not, you know, do something else that would make sense for a 26-year-old?
I honestly feel like it caught me.
Yeah.
It pulled me. I didn't choose it. It chose me. The timing was right.
Yeah.
This was the first time in the history of Detroit that we had council by districts. Mm. So the opportunity opened up itself. And quite honestly, some of me felt like, you know, I was not really too much involved in politics. I didn't follow it that much, but I also didn't see myself in those spaces. And, you know, I wanted to kind of pave a new way for what politics looks like.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have like a background of politics or anything like that as far as my.
Hey, it's Sean Nelson, founder and CEO of Lovesac and host of the Let Me Save You 25 Years podcast. Want to skip the trial and error so you can head straight to success? Join me and incredible guests like Olympic legend Shaun White and NFL superstar Rob Gronkowski as we share the lessons and mistakes that shaped our journeys. Ready to save yourself 25 years? Tune in on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. That's Let Me Save You 25 Years with Shaun Nelson. Listen now.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GUNDRYMD.com/energy.
my background and my experience.
Yep.
So I just wanted to kind of pave the way and set a new tone of what I believed I wanted politics to look like. I wanted to see more women, young black women like myself in these positions and really show young people what we could do.
Yeah.
Right. If we work hard and follow your dreams.
Yeah.
So it was definitely difficult. It shaped me a lot, you know, but I can tell you here in Detroit, I feel like, and I've heard from a lot of the young people that I have inspired them. And that's really what makes me, you know, to get into politics, to want to step up and take these positions. And so that's really what it's all about, creating a new generation of leadership.
And so what would you say has been the most difficult part of, you know, being young, black, and a woman? You got a lot. You got a lot. Respectfully, you black, you young, and a woman. What's been the hardest part of that?
Gosh. I just think navigating, I think politics in general is not an easy environment to be in.
Yeah.
Especially in the times that we're in now.
Yeah.
And so just navigating that as a young person was hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, being black, of course. And then as a woman, it's always, you know, it's just different circumstances and things that you go through. But we need people in politics.
Yeah.
We need people to change the narrative about what's going on. So,
yeah.
But it's been good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so what advice would you have, right? Because I think that's one of the things that I love, right? Because, you know, again, when we look at presidential debates, right? And we watching grandfathers, respectfully, on both sides, right? On both sides. I'm watching grandfathers, you know, who run the country. And even, you know, beyond the president, though, like, and I've always thought this and I've always said this, is I have old people who are about to die, who are making the decisions for my kids.
That's right.
And they're going to be the decisions they make. They're about to die. So they don't care. Right. And it's just what it is. Right. But they're making the decisions. And so in my head, I'm saying, why aren't there more young people in politics? And so to see you, you know, as a young person still, you know, in politics, doing great things and, you know, really being that model. Right. Because a lot of times if you don't see it, you can't be.
That's
it,
right.
Right. And so now you are that model. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to, you know, a young person that's interested in getting into politics?
You just got to start.
Yeah.
You know, I think what I've learned is that women, especially women in politics, we oftentimes second question ourselves, you know, more than men do.
Mm-hmm.
And so at some point you just have to, of course, work hard, prepare, right? You always have to be prepared and work hard, but you just got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we wait for this perfect moment that never exists and work hard. I think at the end of the day, you know, these spaces that we occupy here are so critically important, right? And it takes a lot of work to get there, but it's so needed for young people to fill those spaces.
Yeah.
So I would just say start somewhere, follow, you know, if there's issues or if the things that are upset you, that agitate you, find your passion. It doesn't even have to be a council person. It can be boards, commissions, school board, you know, start some type of leadership position and work your way up. Because I believe the younger that you start to get shaped and molded to be able to move up so that we can see some younger presidents, right? Because like you said, why do we have, out of all the people in the world, this is all we have?
That's it.
I mean, in our country.
Right.
This is all we have?
Right.
But we got to start grooming them younger and getting them, you know, in these positions. And we cannot overthink it. Oh, I'm not qualified.
Right.
Just get in it.
Right.
You know, you'll learn as you grow, as you're in these positions, but you gotta start.
Yeah.
You gotta start somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, love it. So youngest to ever be elected city council, ever in the history of Detroit. Youngest to be ever elected as council president in the city of Detroit. I got my ear in the streets. Streets is talking. They say you know you might break another, you know, you might do something else historic. Are the rumors true? Will you be the next mayor of the city of Detroit?
Only God knows that.
Yes.
Only God
absolutely
knows that. But I'll tell you, the streets are talking.
Yeah.
I just came before I mentioned to you we were out in the community, in the neighborhood. The love is real.
Yeah.
People are grateful for what they're seeing in Detroit, but they're also at a point where they're ready for more priority and emphasis on the people that have been here,
yeah,
our neighborhoods,
yeah,
and I think people are kind of ready for a shift, mm-hmm, in that dynamic. And so I'm just kind of vibing off the energy of the people. People, yeah, have known me since I'm 26. They, mm-hmm, know my work. They, mm-hmm, know my position.
Yeah.
They know I've been able to deliver. So not only was I elected at 26, I made history, but I've done some very impactful things, yeah, in this city.
Yeah.
I have changed the trajectory of our city in, mm-hmm, a lot of ways through policy,
yeah,
affordable housing. Mm-hmm. I mean, at one point in time, we had projects coming here getting tax abatements, and, mm, they were building super wealthy units where, mm, no one could have access to,
wow,
until I created the affordable housing, inclusionary housing ordinance, mm, that says if you come here, we give you some tax, mm-hmm, breaks, you're going to put some units in here for affordable housing, mm, right? And so people have followed my work, my intentionality, yeah, about inclusion of Detroiters and long-term people here. And so I think, you know, they're ready for a change. Mm. And so we will see.
Yeah.
I know that I'm ready to move forward, to, yes, move ahead, because I've learned,
yes,
that the mayor's office is just so important as it relates to vision, mm, as it relates to priorities of the city.
Yes.
As I mentioned earlier, why are we talking about solar farms and not talking about housing?
Yes.
You know, so the shaping the priorities of the city is important to,
yeah,
me. And so that seat is extremely important as we talk about the next 10 years.
Yes.
Because Detroit, as you know, I mean, Chicago is hot, New York is hot, Atlanta is hot, but everybody's flocking now. Mm. Detroit is like the new hot
absolutely
city.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
Everybody wants to come here. Mm-hmm. They want to build. But we want to make sure we do it very intentional.
Yeah.
You know, we want to make sure everyone has a piece and is benefiting from that. So, yeah, so we'll see.
Okay. Good political answer.
Yeah. No, I'm just talking. I mean, I've been here a lot of
times. No, right?
Like, all my answers now,
yeah, are political. No, I'm just playing. But it, you know, it's one of those things that I would love to see as well, because, yeah, you know, again, from a position of changing the narrative, if we want a situation where we want more young people, like, we have to just, like, somebody has to be the first to jump out and,
yeah,
and make it happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, I definitely think that is something that
and
needs
I'm
to
here
happen.
For the ride.
Yeah.
I'm here for the growth.
Yeah.
I'm here to inspire.
Yes.
You know, and if it's not me, if I'm just the one that gets out here and does it,
yep,
creates the conversations, the narrative, the momentum.
Yeah.
We have so many people, young people in our city that don't vote.
Yeah.
People that don't vote at all. They, yeah, come out since Obama.
Yeah.
We gotta have that type of effect on our young people to,
absolutely,
get them out. And so I'm good regardless of what happens.
Yeah.
I care about this city.
Yeah.
And I believe we need that type of inspirational leadership to get the momentum going. So many, I mean, we have so many just good neighborhoods, good,
yes,
people, good young people. They just need some hope.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, they need some hope.
Yeah.
And so that's what we need. And so if it's me, it's me. If it's not, hopefully I can inspire more young people to get involved and get civically engaged.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. And so let's talk a little bit about, you know, I grew up in the era, you know, crack era, mm-hmm, a lot of unfair, you know, drug laws, mass incarceration, things of that nature. And a lot of our brothers and sisters coming home, right, are in a situation where they are looking for opportunity and looking to, you know, get their footings right, if you will. What is your thought process around, you know, not real rehabilitation, but economic development for formerly incarcerated men and women?
Oh, it's a key. It's very important.
Yeah.
We've worked with several employers to make sure that they're felon friendly as they come to Detroit. We've, yeah, passed ordinances like ban a box, and we don't ask if you were felon throughout the application process.
Yeah.
I've hosted with rapper Skilla Baby. I'm not sure if you, mm-hmm, know Skilla, mm-hmm, Baby. We've done felony expungement clinics.
Nice.
Where we come in and people can get their record expunged and then directly connect them with employers. So I think it's about making sure that we are taking care of people who are, because once you come home, that's when life's supposed to start. But,
absolutely,
unfortunately, it doesn't right away.
Yeah.
Issues with housing, employment, education, all types of things still are barriers that they still deal with. And so it's a priority for me, and we're always pushing for ways to make it easier for returning citizens, for sure. We work with them all the time.
Yeah, love it, love it. And so what ways, right, because, you know, this is a show that is seen globally, right? But what ways, from a leadership perspective, can others follow your lead, you know, or what advice would you have where
you know, other cities, other countries even, right? Because we're in 156 countries. So what other ways can leaderships and politics shape, you know, economics and help people live a life of financial freedom?
And this is not just for returning citizens.
No, this is in general, yes.
Using economics in general.
Correct.
To shape. Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, I think for us, like, I'm not sure, some cities received federal ARPA dollars through the Biden administration. We received $800 million from the federal government. We really have been using that as a tool to create better economic opportunities for everyday Detroiters. So we have programs, for example, where we will pay you to learn. Mm. We will pay you to increase your reading level. Mm. Right. We would pay you to get a GED. Mm. Right. And so programs like that to me are important as it relates to just using federal fund, using the infrastructure that we have to increase the quality of life for everyday people. And yeah. So just being intentional with resources, I think, is important too. Making sure that it's embedded throughout policy is key. But I think everything that we do or I do here in Detroit is really about how do we advance the economic opportunities for those that I serve.
Yeah. Yeah. Love that. Love that. All right. And so, entrepreneurs, right? So a lot of entrepreneurs are in a space where, you know, they're trying to figure it out. You know, it might be tough times for them. What advice would you give to an entrepreneur who's, you know, trying to figure it out? You know, it's tough times. You know, they might be the youngest. They might be kind of breaking barriers and, you know, and need that extra push.
Tough times don't last long.
Yeah.
And I was just at an event this week where we are here in Detroit. We are actually awarding through a program called Motor City Match gap funding for entrepreneurs. So, and we've done this now for 2 or 3 years. We're actually giving entrepreneurs access to capital, which is the number one issue. Pairing them with properties throughout Detroit and giving them technical assistance. Mm. And so small businesses, entrepreneurship is near and dear to my heart. But there are a lot of programs, right? Mm. A lot of programs that assist small businesses and entrepreneur as relates to access to capital that I would just encourage people to look up and go find, particularly if you are in Detroit. Mm-hmm. We have programs like Motor City Match, Detroit Means Business, mm-hmm. a lot of programs that are trying to build entrepreneurs and create a pipeline of them here in the city of Detroit. So tough times don't last long, yeah. But if you're going into entrepreneurship, you got to be tough.
Yep, absolutely.
Because there's a lot of no's and failures in entrepreneurship.
Yep.
But eventually, you know, you got to get into the right rooms, especially making sure you tap into government, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of government funded programs that can help small businesses and entrepreneurs.
Love it. Love it. Love it. And then so, you know, if we could go back, right, because I mean, Mary started really, really young. But if we could go back to 18 year old Mary Sheffield, what advice are you giving her?
18 year old?
Yeah.
Whew. Why are you so mad? 18-year-old, I would probably just say to challenge myself more because, you know, I just learned in life in general, the more that you get into rooms where you're uncomfortable, the more you grow.
Yeah.
The more that you do things that you may not be as confident that you believe you are, mm-hmm. you grow.
Yeah.
So I would say to my 18-year-old self, girl, try everything. Get into rooms where you don't feel like you're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Get around people that are smarter than you.
Yeah.
You know, and just learn as much as you can, you know, and you want to be uncomfortable because that's where you learn and that's where you grow. So I would just probably challenge myself a little bit more, pushing myself to do things, try things, because that's where the growth in life takes place.
Love it. Love it. Last question.
Yeah. Last question.
When you become mayor of Detroit, what is the future of Detroit? Right. Like, what do you want Detroit to look like, and what is that vision that makes Mary says yes, job well done?
I want Detroit to be a place of opportunity, of innovation, of growth, just like the Great Migration, where everyone is flocking to Detroit, the Renaissance, right, for everything, for home ownership. For small businesses, entrepreneurship, everything is thriving in Detroit. And at the heart of that, of course, for me, it's going to be our neighborhoods, strong, safe, viable neighborhoods, connectedness, community, and also just making sure in general that we are attracting young people in Detroit is important to me, that we're retaining and attracting. Our population has increased, right? We're innovative as it relates to technology and mobility, just the Renaissance, right? The place where everyone is coming, I think, is key. And just really growing our population is important to me, but really connecting, creating a sense of connectedness and unity. And of course, the spirit of what Detroit is all about, having that spirit throughout every neighborhood of Detroit.
Yes.
So.
We love it. We love it. Madam President.
Thank you. You're an amazing interviewer.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you. If people wanted to connect with you, where can they find you?
Everything is Mary Sheffield. So Instagram, Mary Sheffield, Facebook, Mary Sheffield, Twitter, Mary Sheffield. So, yeah.
All right, y'all. Make sure y'all tap in the future mayor of the future. Look, you might need a campaign for president at some point. So
no, that's you.
No, I don't know. We're going to take it one step at a time. But look, I don't know. We're going to keep breaking barriers. We are closing out the vault. Another awesome episode of Inside the Vault with Ash Cash, the greatest money mindset show on the planet. Make sure y'all follow the Mary Sheffield. She's doing amazing things in the community. There is so much that could be learned, locally, nationally, internationally. There's a lot that she's doing, which is most important. She's touching the people, and that's where power lies, is with the people. So make sure y'all tap in. Me, I am Ash Cash. Make sure you visit me, IamAshCash.com. Follow me on all social media platforms at I am Ash Cash. And make sure you join the abundance community. Make sure you go to InsideTheVaultTV.com and subscribe to us. But we'll see you next time in God's will.
Yes.
All right, y'all. Peace.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.